Amen. I don't know whose plan it was to put family sharing in front of the preaching, but it was a good idea. Brother Earl, I wonder if we could, you could lead a song for me. Let's sing 829 here.
The promise says, kind is the word.
Dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Pray that he the
extend my greetings to all the many visitors that I see from up here. If you're here visiting us for the first time, you're very welcome here. We've gathered here to hear the Word of God and to remember our heavenly home and our heavenly King. And if you'd like to meet with us and do the same, you're very welcome here. I don't know, I thought as I was preparing my message, I think something should be said this morning for God about the beauty of spring. What a glorious time of year. I was just noticing yesterday how spring has fully sprung and it's so green. You know, it's the leaves are out before the caterpillars have done their work and they're all in their full bloom and it seems like this is just the peak of spring. And the beautiful day we had yesterday could not have been better. The sunshine and yet the coolness before the summer heat gets here and we're all biting our tongues because of the humidity and whatnot. It just seems like the Lord Jesus has given us a perfectional time of year anyway. And I want to give Him the glory for that. I welcome you to the day of rest. I wonder if this morning, before I get started here, we could kneel in our places, at our chairs, and have a word of prayer. Let's do that. Amen, Lord. We come before You because You're our God. We kneel because we acknowledge our neediness. You are the Sovereign One. Lord, here I am this morning. I present my members unto You, Your servant, and pray that Your Holy Spirit might speak this morning to Your people. Speak to me through Your Word. I come giving You thanks this morning for the Word of God in the English language. How blessed we are. Lord, open up our ears. We are dull of hearing. Open up our hearts. We are dull of hearing. Would You open up the Word of God and change our lives by it today? Not just hearers, but doers. Thank You, Jesus, for the beauty of this day, this spring morning. Thank You for the sunshine today. We bless You. We give You all our thanks. Thank You, Father, for life and breath today, for creating us and sustaining us and holding us together and giving us this time to meet together. Make it profitable by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. I'd like to begin this morning just by reading three verses, Romans 6, 11, 12, and 13. All right, let's begin. I'll begin reading in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'd like to speak this morning about practical righteousness out of these verses. I think there's a message in these three verses that's right where we live. And it's not difficult to comprehend. I think even the youngest Christian in the room can benefit from the message of these three verses. I want you to note, first of all, this morning, that sin is a law that we live with. Sin is a law that we live with. Turn just forward to one chapter in Romans 7, verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Sin is a law that we live with. But then God is a person that we live with and within. God is a person we live with and within. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 17. Acts 17, 28 says, this is Paul speaking to the men of Athens. He says, for in Him, that is God, we live and move and have our being. That was Paul's description of our relationship with God. We live in Him and we move about in Him and have our very being in God. And also 1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, now turning back to Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 11, take note of these words. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckoning yourself dead to sin. Now the word reckon means think. Think of yourself like this. We see by these words that the way you think about your relationship to sin affects the way that you behave towards sin. The way you think about your relationship to sin affects the way you behave towards sin. But then, notice also it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be alive unto God. The way you think about your relationship with God affects the way that you behave towards God. It has to do with this word, reckon. I'd like to define the word that is in this verse here. It says, neither yield ye your members. Yield ye your members. The word yield is the word paristano is the word, the Greek word to yield. And it's a compound word that breaks right here from the word para and iste me. Two words. Para, the word para means beside or forth from. And the word iste means to stand. So I don't know if you can see now in that word why it means yield. There's another translation of the word that means to present. But it means to offer or to yield to someone an allegiance. Its meaning means to present or be present for the purpose of a service. To be on hand to do a task for another. There's three scenes that describe this this word in my mind as I was thinking, how do we understand what it means to yield? And there's three scenes that I think define this word. Maybe you remember when Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. I think it's Isaiah chapter 5, somewhere right in that area. But he saw God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the temple was filling with smoke. And God laid that coal on his lips and burned his lips and took away his iniquity. And then God asked Isaiah, well, he doesn't ask Isaiah, he asks everyone in the courtroom. He says, who shall go and whom shall we send for us? And Isaiah looks around the room, nobody's saying anything. And Isaiah just kind of, maybe he doesn't do it physically, but with his words, he steps forward and says, here am I, send me. It's a presenting of himself. He presented himself from where he was to offer him and yield himself to God as a servant and go to the people of Israel. And you know, he preached to the people of Israel, a stubborn and stiff-necked people, for most of his life there. So that's a picture, that's stepping forward and presenting yourself. That is a picture of this word, yield, paristemi, or parastano. The second one is also a picture, which is not so pleasant, but it's also a picture of heaven. If you remember, turn to 1 Kings 22. I think we'll just take a little time and look at that. Some of you might not believe that this is in the Bible if we don't read it. 1 Kings 22:19. This is the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and God wants to eliminate Ahab. He wants Ahab to go up and die at battle. And Ahab has all these prophets, 400 prophets of Baal, saying, go up, you're going to succeed, everything's going to be all right. And this one prophet, Micaiah, is prophesying here, and he says, starting in verse 19, he says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by Him on His right hand and on His left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth, notice that, a spirit, and stood before the Lord. See that? This wicked, evil spirit came forth and stood in front of God, presenting himself, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So there's a little more unpleasant, ungodly scene of a lying spirit, but he again is doing this very thing. God is saying, who shall perform my work in the world? And this spirit steps up in front of the throne and says, I'll do it. And presents himself to God as a servant of God. And then, just a more simple one for some of you that might understand this one, but it happens here. It'll probably happen this Wednesday, Brother Mose and Brother Earl. It'll probably happen this Wednesday at the church cleaning. Just think about it a minute. What happens at church cleaning? Most of you brothers roll in here. You don't know what's going on. How many times do you hear this of a Wednesday night church cleaning? Okay, here I am. What shall I do? Right? Isn't that what they say? I come in here, I don't know, there's things happening, there's yard work going on, trees coming down back here and scrubbing in here, and you walk in and you say, well, here I am, tell me what to do, I'm at your service. Well, that is the meaning of this word. Yield yourselves unto God. Notice it says, yielding not your members. Yield not your members. In 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Yielding not your members is when sin is saying, I have a desire. And sin is a law that we live with. And sin says, I have a desire for something in your life. And we say, well, there are no members available here. There's no members to fulfill that. All my members, none of my members are yielded to your service. See, when I was in the world, when I lived under sin, all my members were yielded to his service. But now, none of my members are yielded to his service. Yielding to God is when God says, I have a desire in this situation. You're here. I need somebody to speak this word. I need someone to fill this place. I need someone to do this deed. Yielding to God is to say that all my members belong to you. All of them are yours. Do whatever you like with all my members. to fulfill your good desire. Maybe that's simplifying it overly, but that's what the Bible seems to be saying here. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't yield them to sin. Don't present them to sin. Don't yield them. But yield yourselves. Notice it doesn't say just yield your members. It says start with yourself. Yield your whole self. And then your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How many of you ever have been challenged by a children's song? Anybody ever learned the depth of the little song? I want to give you a different example, but I can't remember what was right on the tip of my tongue. Trust and obey. You know, when we were little children in Sunday school, we learned that song and learned little hand motions to it and all. Then we got to be teenagers and got a little, that's children's stuff, you know, that little song. And then suddenly I realized it's not a child's song at all. It's not a child's song. It wasn't written by a child. It was written by a woman who understood the Christian life. Well, there's another little song that maybe we have designated to the nursery that we should probably bring out into the church. You ever heard that little song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. All those things. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Well, that's not a child song. It wasn't written by children. It was written by somebody who understood the importance of those things. I was trying to teach our children to get started at it young. How many times do we yield our members to that old law of sin as though we were still living under the marriage bonds to sin? And as though we had never died and been freed from our obligation to sin that we might be married unto Christ Jesus. See, we reckon ourselves still bound to sin. And the Scripture says, reckon yourselves dead unto sin. Reckon yourselves as though the marriage with sin that I was born into is broken by death. I died. I'm free from that marriage bond. That I might be married unto Jesus Christ. All right, also I'd like to make note here that it will not work out well in your life if you reckon yourself dead if you've never died. It won't work. It won't work to just start out now, I'm going to try to yield myself to God. And though you've never died, to your old man, to pride, worldly desire. You see, before a new birth can take place, there must be a death takes place. And if you want to get born again without dying, you will find it doesn't work well. You need to die to all those things before the new birth to heavenly desire and a new man made in the image of God. Well, I'd like to look at some practical outworkings today. This is not just going to be a sermon on this spring morning. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take the outworkings of this principle in our daily lives and look at the members that we're talking about. Members is kind of a generic word here, isn't it? Well, I'd like to get a little more specific this morning and ask you brothers to help me and list some of the members that we have and how we yielded them to sin and how we should yield them unto righteousness, unto God. I'm tempted to start at the end, but because God's really been dealing with me on the hidden members. But I think I'm going to start with the visible members, the real obvious ones this morning, because I feel like that's the best way to go about it. So, I'm going to do some writing here. If you all want to take a pencil or paper and copy, you're welcome. You brothers, feel free to speak right up. I'd like to talk about the members. And then over here, we'll make a column for unrighteousness. And then a column over here for righteousness. All right. So let's start with the first one. How about the eyes? Your eyes. What are some things that we yield to with the eyes? Yielding to unrighteousness. I'll just get us started here with a few examples. Let's just talk about proud eyes. You know, carrying, holding your eyes, like the Bible says, with an uplifted eye in pride. Or viewing evil or immoral things. That's a real one, isn't it? We can yield ourselves to this. We can yield our eyes to viewing evil things. When sin has a desire and says, I'd like this desire done, we can present our eyes and say, here, my eyes are available to view that. Reading. Reading evil things. What other things that does sin present to us that we can yield our, the member of our eyes to? Okay, coveting. Just longing after something else. Something more. Another thing.
Winking.
Okay. Okay, a secret dishonesty or secretiveness. What's another one? How about admiring the world? Admire. Any other things that we yield our eyes to? Mark? Okay. Angry eyes. Okay, sensual eyes. I have here eyes saying inappropriate things. Would that be the same? Did you know your eyes talk? Don't they? Eyes talk. I don't know if any of you correct your children for saying things to you with their eyes, but it's in the rules. It is okay to correct a child if he says no with his eyes.
Disdaining.
That's right, disdaining. Okay. Any others? That we yield our the member of our eyes to sin. Thomas?
Unbelieving.
An unbelieving look. Okay. I had one more. Indulging in beautiful things. You know, you can. We live in a world and in a society that is given to pleasures. And we can just make the life so beautiful all around us. And we're given to that. Oh, my eyes love this and my eyes love that. And indulge our eyes. The Bible says there's a lust of the eyes. Okay? Any others that you can think of? All right. Then what are those things that God would have us yield our eyes for. What are some things over here? Dwight? Okay, reading God's Word. Another one?
Compassion.
Okay. How about modest eyes? Turning away from those things that are dirty or evil or immodest. You know, we live in a world where in the summer, people take their clothes off. You know, it's proper to not look at someone when they're not dressed. You can't help it that they're not dressed, but we don't have to look at them. A single eye. What does that mean? Okay. Set in the right place. Okay. Cheerful eye. Okay. Yeah, happy eyes. Thomas? Okay, believing eyes. Others? Okay. Seeing the needs of the world. How about used for good work? You know, the eyes are very important for our daily work, to do a good task. We can use our eyes. Any others? Yeah, that was one I had actually written down here for under modest eyes. I'm glad you brought that up. You know what shamefacedness is? Shamefacedness is the look that could be mistaken that you're ashamed of yourself. You know, ladies, especially the scriptures speak of a shamefaced approach. Someone would almost think you're ashamed of your ability to lure a man, that you show a shamefacedness. Not a woman that's bold and looks a man right in the face and you know, like some of the worldly women do. They're taught to be forward but shamefacedness is ashamed of my womanhood that I could lure a man away. Shamefacedness. Dawn? Seeing needs in the church, yeah. Okay. Okay, weeping eyes. Good. All right. Yes, Myron? Thankful. Yes, amen. Good. Well, the Bible says that the scripture we're saying about says, neither yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness. When sin has a desire, my members are not available. They are not stepping out of line to present my member to do these things. Rather, I present myself unto God when God says, I need someone to weep for this person. My eyes say, here am I. I have eyes for that. When he needs someone to be compassionate, or the time to read the Word of God comes, my eyes are available for all these things. And the Scripture simply says, yield not and yield to these things. Okay. I can tell that I'm going to have to just go through a few of these things verbally, because I do want to get to the heart of the matter here. All right. Let me just write a few of these here. Hands. Violence. Children grow up learning how to hit and fight and wrestle and struggle. Murder. The Scripture says that none of us should be ever guilty of it. Theft. One of those things we put away and work with our hands. How about sports? The fruitless effort of sports. Talked to the doctor the other day, Dr. Noel Ornelas. He said that I asked him what's the percentage of accidents, people that you see in your clinic that the problem that they have is due to a sport-related injury? 80%. And he says that's probably low. Futile, vain, sport. How about proud and worldly? Motions with the hands. Just that cool way of doing things with my hands. That cool way of thumbs-upping or whatever, all the things that they do. It's not the meek and honorable gentleman like. How about dirty deeds? You know, there are a lot of dirty deeds done with hands. Immoral deeds. Done with hands. The Scripture says, neither yielding your members. I don't have hands for those deeds. When sin comes asking for these things, there are no members available to do those things. Working profitably. Titus 3:14 has a very interesting conclusion at the end of Titus. In keeping with the work of our hands. Not only does it say in Ephesians that you let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that which is good, that he might have something to share with him that it hath need. But here in Titus 3:14 it says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Amen. Work that's necessary, not just frivolous stuff with our hands to fill our days, not the cards and the doilies and the stuff of life, just not fruitless stuff, but to necessary uses. Let them work for necessary uses so that their life might be fruitful and profitable to the helping of others. Helping others. Worship. How about some kind gestures? What are some kind gestures? Let's see, that's with a G. What are some kind gestures that we use our hands for?
Waving.
You know, when you see somebody, isn't it nice to have somebody acknowledge that they know you and they wave at you? What's another kind gesture? Shaking somebody's hand. You know, you look right into their face and shake their hand. That's a gesture in our culture that is very meaningful. It means I accept you. I recognize your presence. I appreciate you. Any others?
Healing.
Healing hands. How about cleanup? Is that too practical? Cleaning up after yourself, cleaning up after others. I mean, those are things that we do with our hands. God says, you know, this place is a mess. Somebody ought to clean it up. and my hands say, I'm available for that kind of work. Okay? Let's go on. How about feet? The members of your feet. What kind of things does sin ask our feet to do? Okay, kicking and violence. Maybe that's for the children. I hope so. How about lazy feet? I don't want to get up right now and do that. Okay. I'm going to stick out my neck here. Maybe I won't say it for the sake of... I think Walmart has reached the point where we can start preaching against Walmart. All right? If you're there just loitering, get out of there. Your feet are in the wrong place and you're yielding your members as an instrument of unrighteousness. That is not a place for feet to just be wandering and eyes to just be wandering at Walmart. Get out of that evil place. I don't know who owns Walmart. I don't know if he wants to listen to this tape someday. But my counsel to him is to change his ways and repent lest he go to hell. Roaming feet. You know what roaming feet are? Proverbs 7:11. Speaking of this woman, this immoral woman, it says she is loud and stubborn and her feet abide not in her house. Roaming feet. Just got to be out of the house. All the time. So what do we have? Righteous feet. Diligent. You know, let's practice diligent feet. When God says, I need someone to go quickly somewhere. Rise, let us be going, Jesus said. Well, righteous feet say, amen, my feet are ready to do that. Where shall I go? Not shuffling. You know, okay, if I got to go, I'll go. Diligent feet. Unwearying feet. I had to think of my... my family yesterday as we walked for miles and miles. And stay home feet. Gospel feet, that's right. Gospel feet. Like go to other countries. Or go and preach the gospel. That's right. Beautiful are the feet of them. Any others? Okay. Willing to be washed. Like Peter's feet. Purposeful feet. I see another one over here. Visiting. Oh, good. Visiting the sick and in prison. Fleeing evil. Okay. Kneeling. Good. Any others? Just read it here. It says, Christians, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All right, I'm going to quit there. We have a lot more we can say about your lips, pleasant words, building up words, gracious words, telling the truth. in love, smiling lips, consoling lips, preaching lips, sober speech, which cannot be condemned. And all the opposites are there. Your nose, indulging in pleasant smells. You know, there is a fault, especially among women, that think that there's nothing wrong with indulging the flesh through the sense of smell. But every sense can be indulged. Lust uses every sense. And there is a place where if everything's got to smell perfect, it becomes a indulgence of the flesh. Pride of perfumes, refusal to do a smelly job, ridicule and repulsion based on the way a person smells. But righteous nose is modest in all those things, ignores the unpleasant. A servant's nose does not react to bad smells. And a servant loves a man even if he has bad breath, or a woman. Faces. Your face is a member. You can have a face that's careless of expression, or angry, or a whining face, or a blank face. Or you can yield it to God and have a pleasant, truthful, gracious face. Your stomach is a member. It can be given to overeating. It can be picky about foods. It can be ungrateful. Or it can be a stomach that is eating for strength. Like the Bible says, food is for the stomach. A stomach that fasts for power. And thankful stomach. And many others. I'm sure you have many you could share on that. Teeth. I hope this is just the children I'm speaking to, but biting is not something we do with teeth, is it? Right, children? We do not bite. I hope that's just the children. The Bible does speak of, in the book of Galatians, about biting one another. But what's a good thing you can use your teeth for? Anybody think of a good thing? I thought of one. I didn't think of many.
Show them in a smile.
Okay, show them in a smile. What else? How about when your brother's got a knot in his shoe? Okay. I thought, well, that's a nice, good use. God says, this boy needs his knot out. My teeth are available, sir. But here's where I want to come to this morning. And this is the area God's been working in my own life. But do you know, we have members that we cannot see. And maybe we ignore those members. How about the member that we all have of the mind? Isn't the mind a member that we have also? And yet many times, because it's in the mind and it's not seeable, the things that go on there are actually being yielded as servants of unrighteousness. But God, I believe, applies this also to my mind, that I should not yield my mind as a servant of sin, as an instrument for sin to do its work. But rather, I should yield that mind, I should yield myself to God and that mind as an instrument of righteousness to God. Sin has a desire in the mind. Think about this. Think this way. Have these thoughts. Sin has desires of the mind. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2, just to persuade you fully, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see, when God looks at lust, He doesn't just think of all the outside things. He thinks of the mind. It's the fulfillment of the lust of the mind. And those things are, that is a broad spectrum. And God says, don't give your mind to that. Don't give it to those things. You know what selfish thoughts are? Those are thoughts about myself. It's not greedy thoughts. It's just a lot of thoughts about me. That's selfish thoughts. I don't know. I know there's some brothers here that can relate to this. Vain imaginations. You know, it doesn't work to avoid one train of thought by diverting it to vain imagination. Some try that. You know, if you have a problem with evil thinking, by all means, don't just give yourself to a vain imagination. Or, you know, in my case, when I was a young man, I diverted my thinking by building all kinds of imaginary equipment that didn't make any sense, and I would never build it. What's the purpose of spending hours developing things that will never be built? It's vain. It's vain imagination. Proud thoughts. Maybe thoughts about your own achievements. And sin would say, let's think about that again. That feels so good to think about how that went well. Carnal thoughts. Just giving the mind to earthly thinking. Think about this, think about that. The mind just goes wherever it wants to go. Carnal, all down here. All thinking down here in the world. No heavenly thoughts. Sinful thoughts. Thinking about things that are not lawful. Fantasizing. Well, I can't do that. The law does not allow me to do that. It wouldn't be right for me to do that, but I can think about it, and I'll just think about it in my mind. That's what sin asks and has a desire to do. Angry thoughts. You know, thoughts that you would never say to somebody, but you go through the whole thing in your mind. You know how that works?
Yes.
He said this, then I'll say that. And he said this, and then I'll say that. And oh, I'd like to say this to him. That's sin. Asking you to present your mind as a member to unrighteousness. Presumptuous. Bitter thoughts. And I only put bitter there because oftentimes presumption and bitterness go together. We assume and we presume that they did that because they think this about me. Or they did that because their motivation was really this. And if you give yourself to those thoughts, there is a bitterness that comes in the heart. It is not a neutral thing that goes on when you give the member, your member, unto presumptuous thinking and not sound, truthful thinking. The Bible calls it evil surmisings. It's a work of the flesh listed, I think, in the book of Galatians. How about foolish thoughts? You ever seen somebody just sitting there thinking and thinking and thinking and they'll all of a sudden burst out in uncontrollable laughter? And they can't control themselves because they're in a world of their own, thinking some foolish nonsense. And it has hit their funny bone, and they just go on and on and on, and they're totally out of control. Just by yielding the member of their minds to foolish thoughts. Critical thoughts. Other ones. Steve.
Worry.
What if this happens? What if this could happen? Others? Okay. Lazy is probably the good word for that. Going for the easy, light reading, light thinking, trivial thoughts. Jordan? Unbelieving thoughts. Good. Brother Steve, Brother Rick.
Proverbs 38 says that there are those that imagine deceits all the day long. They just think up lies.
Okay, yeah, thinking up lies. Yeah, they actually imagine how they could trick somebody by telling them this lie, or if I said it this way, they would think that I meant that and I didn't really, but I wouldn't be lying because... Who else? Okay, intellectual. Okay, filthy dreamers. I probably would land right along here. Because they were also men who had eyes full of adultery.
An example would be Saul. The Lord said to him later, when you were little in your own sight, then things were okay.
Okay.
That place where he was large.
I think Timothy calls it heady. Is that right? High-minded. Okay. Self-exaltation, maybe? Trying to get glory, ways that I can get other people to think better of me? Thomas? Okay, double-minded. This way, then that way. Oftentimes determined by who I'm around. Others? Shane? Self-comparing? Okay, yeah, comparing. Comparing yourselves among yourselves. Yeah, how am I? I do it this way, they do it that way. Am I better than they are? I ought to be free from that. Negative, just always on the bad side. Okay. As compared to thoughts about others, humble thoughts. You know, like the Bible says, let each man think of himself as he ought to think, not having too high of an esteem of yourself. I know my faults. I know where my weaknesses lie. How about prayerful thoughts? Spiritual thoughts. And when I say spiritual, I mean... thinking about heaven, the world to come, Jesus Christ, the unseen things of life, the spiritual life. Anybody else have others?
Encouraging,
like as in how to encourage someone else? Okay. Encouraging someone, yourself, oftentimes with the truths of God, the promises of God. Okay. Brother Rick.
There's much talk in the Bible about meditating and thinking on the Word of God.
The Word of God. Mm-hmm. Others? Worship. Adoration. Prayerful thoughts like that. The mind of Christ in, I guess, in all of these ways. That would probably be like a heading over all of these things. Who yielded his mind always to righteousness. Shane. Okay. Yeah, helpful. Helpful thoughts. Helpful solutions.
Sober thoughts.
Sober. Okay. The mind of a servant. And the mind of a servant is usually occupied with what needs to be done next. But what's lacking here that I need to do? Amos.
Visionary
thoughts. That's good. What could be? Steve.
Content
thoughts. And that will probably go with prayerful thoughts too. Just thankful thoughts. Rather than... Luke? Okay. Understanding. Compassionate. Good. I'm sorry?
Having a clear mind.
A clear mind? Okay, clear thinking. Which is the opposite of this here. Or fantasizing. Thinking about real things that are real. Clear. What else? Okay.
Applying to writing a sermon.
Studious,
that's good. A studious mind. Studious for profit of the church.
Good. Brother Rick? Yeah, faithful. Yeah, faithful thoughts. That's very good. Tanner. Joyful thoughts. Joyful thoughts. Trusting thoughts. Which would be the opposite of fearful also. Dwight. Victorious. I'm going to have to go. Victorious thoughts. Luke.
Loving.
That's a good one. That's a broad one.
That's good. I actually have that written down here. I was waiting for a good opportunity to read it. Why don't we just turn to that? Philippians 4, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be any praise, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Neither yield ye your members as instruments to unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I think I'm going to stop there. There is one other area of the heart or the affection. What your heart, you give your heart to allow it to be connected to. It can be connected to worldly affections, ungodly friendships, admiring of worldly men or worldly achievements. It can be given to the hopes of riches. It can be given to pride of myself. The heart can be stubborn and hard-hearted or careless toward others. But I think that if we take our heart and yield it unto God to a love for men and a love for God and godly men, preferring godly friends, admiring God and God's creation, God's works in the world and God's people, admiring good character, valuing God's kingdom more than riches, and having a faith toward God and a humility towards God. Those are things of the heart. And I think we can apply it right here in this verse. You see how that works. My heart is not available. My heart is not presented unto sin for those works of empty, vain admirations. My heart is yielded to God. Well, I think I'll close it down there and give us some time for some sharing. Like I said, these are the reason that I share on this subject is God has been really opening my eyes to this area, especially of the mind and of the heart, that what goes on here is just as applicable as all those other things. It's not just don't hit. It's not just don't say. It's don't think, don't meditate, don't dwell on those things. You can turn your mind away from those things when you find yourself tempted by sin to give me your mind. I want your mind for some time. And if you have been giving your mind to sin, the Scripture says, yield not to it, but take that mind and yield it unto God. Yield your members as members of righteousness unto God. May God bless that and also bless all of you and give you victory and strength in your Christian life.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.